This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke live, worldwide, internet, web broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, we have another important news day. It seems the web of treason is being spun deeper and deeper into the heart of America. All around the President of the United States, we have a foreign government, a foreign power, spinning their web of deceit, treason, treachery, and ultimately of death for the American military man and woman, ultimately perhaps even for the death of our republic. We have a situation, as you know, in Iraq that is undoubtedly the most dangerous and incredibly stupid strategic disaster that has ever befallen perhaps American foreign policy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing war. And when I said that quote, when I talked about how this war is damaging to our strategy and our strategic well-being, I'm quoting a former general. That's right, United States Army general who served in these areas and who personally understands the disaster that this war represents for the American people and for the American Republic. And now, of course, we've got this tremendous scandal going on in terms of an aide or really a higher-up official in the George Bush administration who has basically outed a CIA agent simply because that agent's husband dared to show that the Iraq war was based on lies. He showed that the famous Niger Yellow Cake Memorandum was absolutely false, that there was no deal of Saddam Hussein with that government to produce any enriched uranium. It was all a lie. It was a lie which was told to the American people to justify the vast expenditure of American money and the risk and the subsequent terrible death of so many of Americans who are loyal to our country and who want and who are willing to make sacrifices for the safety and security of the American people. But I don't think those men are willing to make those sacrifices for a lie and to put those men and women into situations where they may lose life and limb, where they may face being disfigured or crippled or blinded or a lifetime of pain from their wounds. To put them into that situation for a lie is the greatest betrayal that could happen for the American people. America is riddled with foreign agents of a foreign power. And we're just sitting back and letting this happen and letting this country be dragged further and deeper into this war, which is doing nothing more than damaging every true purpose and interest of the United States of America and the American people. We are not in any way supporting the fight against terrorism. We are producing and creating terrorists because we are making literally hundreds of millions of people around the world hate and despise America. This whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, is phony. Right up to the new trial for Saddam Hussein. And what a trial it's going to be, right? It's called Victor's Justice. I mean, they're not even letting Saddam even control his own defense? I mean, if you're going to lynch the man, the Patton used to say this, if you're going to lynch somebody after a war, just go out and lynch him. Don't try to justify it and say this is about justice and this is about a trial of where you have actually have an impartial court. In fact, the judge in this case is a Kurd. The Kurds have long considered Saddam Hussein their worst enemy. Is this the kind of justice you're going to have in a court of law? It's ridiculous. It's like bringing the biggest anti-communist up before a judge who is an out-and-out Bolshevik. It's like bringing a black individual charged with the crime, you know, up against an individual judge who was an active supporter of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, that's, you know, obviously when you have a court of law, you have to have some sort of justice where you have an unbiased situation, not a system of justice controlled. I mean, Saddam, I'm no fan of Saddam Hussein, not in the least, but let me tell you something. He was actually an ally of the United States of America. We supported him in the war against Iran. We supplied Saddam Hussein with billions of dollars of equipment, military equipment and aid, even during the time when we accuse him of committing these crimes. He's charged with an offense right now. So here's Saddam Hussein on trial for the supposed killing of 140 people, and even the government says that there was an assassination plot coming from this community, and that Saddam therefore is responsible for their assassination, or their summary trial and an assassination. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, that's well and good. And who knows? I don't know what happened in that particular case, but I can tell you one thing: this is not a trial which was created by the Iraqi people. This is not a government that the Iraqi people installed, or people who were from Iraq, from our own country installed, but a government that we installed. And this trial is not about seeking justice. It's about seeking revenge and trying to justify what we've done in Iraq. Now, if you want to talk about deaths, we'll talk about deaths a little bit. Let's talk about the 2,000 American men and women who have died so far in this war, 30,000 wounded. For what, ladies and gentlemen, a lie? An absolute, complete, and total lie? There were no weapons of mass destruction. There was none of this there were no biological weapons laboratories. There were no balloons getting set to drop these weapons or drone planes that drop these weapons upon America or Americans. There was no yellowcake uranium. You know, there was no alliance or some sort of an arrangement between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. In fact, exactly the opposite is true. Osama viewed Saddam Hussein as an enemy. He didn't like the fact that the regime of Saddam Hussein was so Western-oriented. It was very secular. And people didn't always wear, you know, the women didn't have to wear the veil in Iran. Women were being educated, for instance, in the higher educational levels in Iraq. Same is true. Women, you know, this area of the world had one of the highest standards of living for the people of any country in the Middle East. They had one of the better educational systems of any nation in the Middle East. Now, what was the problem with Saddam Hussein? Well, the problem was that the Iraq-Iran war ended. And Israel wanted, you see, Iran to fight, you know, Iraq, because they wanted this division in the Arab world. And at that time, they were more afraid of Iran than they were of Iraq. But the war was ended, and Iraq emerged from this war with a tremendous arsenal that was gained during the war, much of it supplied by the United States of America. And Saddam had the temerity to attack the Zionist supremacists, the Jewish supremacists of Israel, and condemn their oppression of the Palestinian people and their criminal actions all throughout the Middle East. And so their agents in the United States of America, the so-called neocons, and their agents and allies in the press and the media and finance and politics and all the rest, moved to make our country into an enemy of Saddam Hussein. And that's exactly what occurred. That's how this war got started. But to justify going to war with this kind of loss of life, not only from the American people, but also the Iraqis. You want to talk about 140 people killed by Saddam Hussein? We launched an illegal, aggressive war. Not we. President Bush and the neocons who led him into this war. We launched an illegal, aggressive war against a country that had not in any way harmed the United States of America. That is the cold, hard facts. It's the same action that we, in fact, prosecuted the German National Socialists for at the end of the Second World War, that America prosecuted people such as Milosevic in Yugoslavia for after the Balkan confrontation of a few years ago, in which, you know, America has helped and supported that prosecution. Well, we have done exactly the same thing in this particular case. There's no argument about that. It's a fact. There was no evidence for this war. There was no justification for this war. They knew that we were not going to go out and make these sacrifices for Israel. So what did they do, ladies and gentlemen? They made up these wild stories. And who made up these stories? For instance, Mr. Stuart Cohen. That's a Kohanim. That's one of the leaders, the old Jewish priest class in the CIA, who was in charge of the intelligence. The Israeli government supplied a lot of that intelligence. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that the break-in of the Niger embassy in Italy is where they probably got the stationery for which they forged these documents. And there's a lot of evidence and a lot of suggestion that the Mossad was behind this action. And then, of course, you have the latest affair. And you have a very interesting thing going on here. You got Judith Miller, who is an absolute pro-neocon all the way up and down the line. And you have Scooter Libby. That Scooter sounds so European-American, but it ain't, if I can use that word. Scooter is about as Zionist as Mordecai Levy. I mean, he is absolutely, completely a Zionist. I consider him a Zionist gangster. In fact, he's got many ties with organized crime. One of the people he was associated with, for instance, is Mark Rich, the international financier and thief, who stole billions and billions of dollars. This is the kind of people that we have up in Washington, D.C. right now. These are the kind of people who are running the government of the United States of America. And it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to some quotes and go to stormfront.org. If you want to post an opinion or a thought, you can go to stormfront.org, the town hall section. I've been working pretty hard. I'm pretty tired. I hope I'm putting my words together adequately today. I've got to get back out and do some more work in just a little while. I've got to run to the hardware store and all the rest of it. We're trying to finish up this property and get everything finally done this week. So it's pretty difficult. So we're going at it though. Messiah wrote about the quotations that I used yesterday about the extermination of the white race. He says, that reminds me of the Kill Whitey parties at white DJ holes. There's a Stormfront thread on it. And that's pretty interesting. Go to stormfront.org, take a look at that, and click on that thread, and you're going to find that interesting to show you the self-hate that exists among our people. Let me tell you something. This self-hate is not natural. And no other people really have this self-hate, that they really want to see their own demise. I mean, they've got this DJ that you have up in, I think it's New York. He literally has these Kill Whitey parties, and he talks about destroying white people. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't come up with this. One of the people who is behind this is a Jewish individual by Ignitive, and he's a professor at Harvard University, and he says it's time to abolish the white race. And it's from these kind of moles, you might say, in our society that we've got these sick ideas and sick values. You've seen it in a million movies. You've seen it. I saw something interesting when I saw the primetime the other day with a special on Lynx and Lamb, and they're always, of course, giving me a hard time, and they're saying they're not. I don't want to go into the whole program, but I do want to point out that exactly the way they construct the way we learn the world is typical. Is typical of how everyone is constructed. You know, the Birth of a Nation constructed psychologically, I should say. The Birth of a Nation documentary that appeared on AMC, American Movie Classics, is another classic example. They had a half an hour program. They came down and interviewed me for an hour and a half, and they had a crew of four people come down and interview me in my living room. And then they ran 40 seconds of what I said, and they ran nothing but just one black commentator after another, one Jewish commentator after another, one liberal white commentator, I guess to fill it out, after another. How can anyone learn the truth about Birth of a Nation if there's no true dialogue? You hear one side of the coin. And people are getting this kind of psychological badgering and battering their entire lives in this country. It's no wonder there's liberals out there. I always realize, when I see programs like that, I realize how I must be patient with many white people who are liberals, who don't agree with us on the racial issue, and kind of view them as my brother or my sister who's simply lost his way or been brainwashed or been deceived, who's been conned by our enemies. This self-hatred that exists among our people isn't a natural thing, and it exists basically among no other people. If it had existed historically, people would not even exist at all. They would have been driven out of existence if people hated themselves and wanted to destroy themselves and kill themselves. Obviously, it's a dysgenic, it's a thing that would destroy or wipe out any people over time if it was a natural part of their makeup. Okay, this is an unnatural part of our makeup, and I can tell you it's been introduced by an alien influence in our society. The same alien influence that gave us the Iraq War, the same alien influence that gave us the so-called egalitarian movement, the same alien influence that gave us international Bolshevism, the same alien movement that gave us Freudianism, the same alien movement that gives us hip-hop for our children and promotes it in TV magazines, the same alien movement that's given us a society where pornography is the norm today. I mean, not just something showing the beauty of the human body. I'm no prude, but everything sadomasochism and defecation. God, ladies and gentlemen, this country is going to hell in a handbasket. You know it, and I know it. But this is an alien thing. Professor Abrams talks about the fact that, in fact, he's a Jew himself, and he talks about the fact, he brags about it, really, that the pornography industry was almost completely dominated, controlled, pushed, and supported by Jews. And, of course, this ramshackle, extreme pornographic introduction to America, it couldn't have gone on except the fact that they had their agents, Jewish agents, in the mainstream media defending these people, talking about how it's freedom of speech. Now you have pornography of any sort of human degradation known to man, but you don't have free speech. In Europe, you can get any sort of pornographic material that you desire, but if you get something that simply has an intellectual argument refuting whether or not 6 million or whether 5 million or 4 million or 100,000 Jews died in the Holocaust, that person who has an intellectual argument, who argues an historical idea, exercising freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of thought, he can go to jail for years. Go to prison for years for simply having a different point of view. But you can put something in film and have it in any shopping center or any roadside porno store of showing some degenerate pervert defecating on a woman or a child for that matter, and that's supposed to be okay. It's crazy, ladies and gentlemen. It's just literally crazy. And it shows you the sickness that we have. And this is an alien infusion, an alien infection into the body of our spirit and our mind. It is not, this self-hate is not about something that's inside of us. It's now becoming inside of us, but it's been introduced by a foreign body. It's been introduced by a foreign body. That's the truth of it. So we're getting some calls, and again, I'm kind of handling this thing. We've got other people out working and trying to get the house done. I hear that some people have gotten the David Duke Report. If you have gotten it, I'd appreciate it if you'd send me an email at info44@davidduke.com. And if you have a comment here about this program, what I'm saying right now, send me an email, info44@davidduke.com. And you can also go and to stormfront.org and certainly make a post. And on, with your post, literally thousands of people can read what you have to say on these matters. So that's what's going on. So it's just kind of really amazing. Also, David Fellows wrote a very interesting post on Stormfront, and he talks about the emails and the records going on with one of the assistants in the Office of FEMA, you know, the Federal Emergency Management and so forth, and what happened during of course, Hurricane Katrina. And I want to quote this. This is a very interesting quote. This is an amazing quote, and it just shows you how weird and screwed up our government is. On August 34th, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I think it's Bahamondi, emailed Brown to tell him that thousands of evacuees were gathering in the streets with no food or water, and that estimates are many will die within hours. "Sir, I know that you know the situation is past critical," Bahamondi wrote. "The sooner we can get the medical patients out, the sooner we can get them out." A short time later, Brown's press secretary, Sharon Worthy, wrote colleagues to complain that the FEMA director needed more time to eat dinner at a Baton Rouge restaurant that evening. This is, again, the head of FEMA. "He needs much more than 20 or 30 minutes," Worthy wrote. "Restaurants are getting busy," she said. "We now have traffic to encounter to go to and from the location of his choice, followed by wait service from the restaurant staff, eating, etc. Thank you." So here it is. They're emailing him and messaging him that thousands are in a position to be dying in hours, and he's going to a restaurant to wait in line instead of taking action to save people's lives and well-being. When Marie Antoinette, when it was told about the starving French masses and said, "Let them eat cake," I mean, this kind of compounds it. I guess Secretary Brown can say, "Let them eat crawfish," which is really the popular dish here in New Orleans. I wonder what he was eating. That would be interesting. We could make some pretty good lines out of that. Okay. Messiah says, "I hope having the show on later gives you a bit longer working day, David and James, as long as you work on your family, home, and other things as well. We'll try to catch you at 5 p.m. Well, thanks for being here, Messiah. Good to see you. He says, "Ulysses says, no need to apologize. Being struck in traffic is simply agonizing. It can't be said often enough, but thank you for providing this service. It's always interesting and informative to tune into Representative David Duke's broadcasts. And applause to you too, James, for all you do. All the best to both of you. Good luck and have a great show." And Messiah says, "Let me second that and say thanks for putting the show on and all you're doing. I was thinking about what it'd be like to try to talk about these various issues in a clear and insightful manner every day, how big and a difficult job that really is. It takes a lot of insight, research, and understanding to do it. David, you do it so very well. I thank God for giving you the understanding and the abilities he's given you, and pray for your continued success and development. And I say the same for all other Stormfront speakers and guests and people behind the scenes that make it happen as well, as they do what they do best as well. We look forward to the show, and thanks again." Well, thank you very much, and we're going to go over to some of the emails now. And so if you have any more comments or questions, please make sure that you come to the website now and offer them on stormfront.org or at info44@davidduke.com. Well, I'm looking at some of the pictures, which somebody just sent me an email from Chalmette, which was the 75% David Duke voting territory. It looks like a huge bomb. It's just amazing pictures of devastation. Thank you, Spiker, for sending those, and it's just amazing. Also, James M. suggests that Judith Miller is the unnamed woman in the APAC spy ring, and that's pretty interesting, and that certainly may be true, no question. Also, I want to mention for a second, and this is also mentioned by James M., about the U.S.'s wanting a pretext to attack Syria. There was a recent United Nations report, which is basically an individual at the United Nations and his team that made some sort of report, which is trying to suggest that Syria is behind the bombing or the assassination of the Lebanese businessman Harari. The interesting thing about it, and I read the article last night, so I don't have it at my fingertips at this moment, but I read it very carefully, and I noticed that they didn't really offer one bit of evidence that Syria was behind that bombing. All they said was that it would take a sophisticated intelligence network to be able to have completed and had that bombing happen. The truth is, as has been the case, and what's going on right now, even with that United Nations report, Syria would know, even if they didn't like Hariri, they would know that the death of this man would throw suspicion immediately on them, that it would damage them seriously. It would hurt Syria and the world and give a pretext and justification for certain attacks and certain actions against Syria, sanctions and the rest of it. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, they certainly know this. They're not stupid. But there is another intelligence network, obviously, in the Middle East, which is, they say, perhaps even the strongest in the world. I think it's on a par with the CIA. Only the CIA could have anywhere near the kind of strength as the spy network the Mossad has. In fact, even the Mossad has been able to successfully spy on the United States of America a number of times. And we've caught a few of them, but God knows who we haven't caught. And yet, I don't know of anything that the United States has been able to do in terms of spying on Israel. I don't think we'd even try. But the point is that Israel certainly knows exactly what they want to do, because the clean, you know, securing the realm, a clean break, securing the realm is absolutely about destroying the regimes of both Iraq and Syria, and of course later on Iran. And they often talk about the road to Syria is through Baghdad. So what we've got going on right now, ladies and gentlemen, is that these people are trying to create, again, another justification for American involvement in Syria. And I think that would be tragic. I really admire the Syrian people. I think that the average Syrian is really a friend of the United States of America. And for us to make these huge number of enemies, what are we going to do, get bogged down in this country now? Are we going to have more suicide bombers, more people growing up wanting to kill America? From a country that has not done nothing to us, nothing against us. And as far as the United Nations report is written, just because it was written by the United Nations doesn't make the paper worth the ink that's written upon it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I really do believe that the Mossad, and they've made a point to try to invade and to infiltrate and to spy upon and to influence every aspect of the United Nations. That's part of their policies and programs, and I think I see the hand of the Mossad even in this report, because again, I see no evidence whatsoever, that no hard evidence at all. There's not a single individual that's supposed to be in the Syrian intelligence, all right, who they show has any evidence. Oh, they talk about a couple people in there, but they offer no evidence. And if you read the whole article, and it's a very long article, I saw no evidence that purported the Syrians committed this bombing, other than they say that the Syrians didn't like Hariri. Well, we knew that already, and that it would take a very powerful intelligence network to do the bombing. That doesn't prove anything, and if that's the case, I think it proves that Israel, or at least indicates that Israel, was probably behind the bombing rather than the Syrian intelligence. So you can make your own decision about that, but that's just, I wanted to talk about that for a second. Let's see. We got a few things to go on. Someone who wasn't able to listen, you're just gonna have to try and get your work going there. I mean, you have to get your computer to take these streaming programs, but I think you're gonna be able to find a way to do that at some point. I certainly hope that you do. That's from Scott. And this is from Chris Healy. He says, I just wanted you to know that I received the David Duke Report number 76 in the mail today. By the way, anybody else that gets the David Duke Report in the mail, I'm glad to hear that some people are getting it. Anybody else that receives the David Duke Report, please send me an email at info44@davidduke.com, and also post on Stormfront. Tell me when you received it and what city and state that you live in, and exactly the day that you received it, because I'm interested in that. Let's see. Now, this person is a critical letter, but I'll tackle it for a minute here. He says racism or separation thereof, he misspelled separation, is not to better society. Your statements about white numbers dwindling down are so ridiculously off base that it's hard for me to even begin to take you seriously. How is segregation supposed to help anyone? Let me just take one thing at a time, and we'll go through his whole pretty silly letter, but it's typical of the people who think they know so much and they're opposing us, but you give this to an impartial source, like in debating team, and this guy would be squashed like an ant beneath a boot in terms of his intellectual prowess and ability. First off, whether racism or separation is not to better society, that's his opinion. I think society, when it was separated in America, essentially racially separated, or in some ways socially, I think that society was stronger in this country. I think we had less crime. I think we had a greater sense of pride even among the black community. I think you had more leadership among the black community. I think that the white community certainly had a healthier lifestyle for themselves and their children. Talk to your parents and the people and the grandparents and ask them what life was like for them. I mean, money-wise, I mean, we've made some monetary gains, but we've also made some monetary losses. I mean, we've got a lot of gadgets and trinkets and electronic things, again, almost all created, again, by primarily European genius and European hard work and creativity. And certainly the Japanese are right there, too, and some of the Chinese, no question. But they've been primarily the response of European intelligence. But if you really look at things, though, the quality of life has declined very, very dramatically for the average white American, and I think in many ways for the average black American. During the time when we had the separation, blacks did not have, 75 to 85% illegitimate birth rate, and where you had black children on the norm growing up without a loving present father. You didn't have massive drug addiction among the black kids like you have today. You didn't have half of the young black males in prison or awaiting trial or in the federal criminal justice system at any one moment between the ages of 18 and 35, yet that's exactly the way they live today. Now he says, how is segregation supposed to help anyone? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I had some small children today, it would certainly help me if my children, I could send them to a public school that was composed by my own people, my own heritage. I know my children would be pretty safe. They'd be getting a better education. And I wouldn't have to try to shell out the money for a private school education for my kids. I know that would be a healthier thing for me. And I think the same thing is true for black kids, because then you could orient the values for them. And I'm not saying you have to force anything. If few people want integration, let me tell you something. Let them have all the integration they can stand, because I think the overwhelming majority of both blacks and whites want this. And what is so wrong about letting people do what they want? Isn't that what freedom is supposed to be all about? He says, I'm a recent high school graduate, and I'm sure that you get all kinds of emails like this, but you go beyond ridiculous, my friend. Well, he's a recent high school graduate. I certainly didn't notice that by the intelligence of his letter. Why don't you smile a little more and have a little less bitching about how whites are being shut out? I've read your articles. You're either just ignorant or, a blank blank or an ignorant blank blank. You can imagine what the words are there. Nice guy. Typical. Do yourself a favor, whoever's reading this, and buy yourself a plane ticket to Africa or any country with no whites residing in a foreign language. Why would we do that? I spent a year there earlier this year in Tanzania, and it let me experience for once what it was like being the true minority. Oh, really? We as a white race are nowhere close to being overrun, Duke. Where the hell did you get your PhD from anyway? Obviously, all that studying brought you nothing more than a privilege but a doctor in front of that goofy name of yours. Well, again, this is typical. I mean, I hope that this individual, this Colin Cunningham, I hope that he hears this broadcast and he realizes, how totally unintelligent his letter is. And where did I get my PhD? It was from the largest university in Ukraine. a university which is accredited around the world, including by UNESCO and other international organizations, and has the highest rating for universities in the nation of Ukraine. And in my doctoral dissertation, I was challenged by really the top intellects and some of the top academics in the whole country who signed off, you know, on my doctorate. So, you know, I mean, you can attack anyone for anything you want. As far as, you know, you sound like you didn't really enjoy it in Tanzania. You said that, and you said we should go to Tanzania so we can experience what it was like to being a true minority. In other words, I think he's saying somewhere between the lines that he wasn't very comfortable being in this country, being a very small minority. But what does he think that we're going toward in the United States of America? You know, the actual facts and figures show that whites will be a minority in this country in just a few years, and if you go toward the end of the century, we'll be a very tiny minority and one fading fast. So this is typical, again, of the kind of hate mail we get, but it's nice kind of to share it with you because I think it's good. There's an individual saying that this is from Patty. She says that the Duke Report came today. It's good to know you're getting your office back together and your mail is running normally. Well, my mail is not running quite normally. It's very slow. The packages we send from here, like the DVDs and the tapes and the books, are going out pretty slow right now because all the distribution centers the post office uses, like the MAMO used to use in New Orleans, is out of business. So the post office is having a very difficult time, you know, handling all this. And this is from Mick, and he says, "Dear David, this one, the Duke Report, is by far one of the best you've ever written. As my Cajun people would say, chapeau, thank you, and may the good Lord bless you." He says, "Thanks a lot." And he says, "I'm going to try and send the contribution." Well, thanks a lot. I had an email from Rodney. He tells me about how to deal with the dust and the stink of cleaning out bad refrigerators and the rest of it. And we'll be working on that for sure over the next couple of days. And that's about it. Let me go back to Stormfront for a moment, and then I'm going to call it a day for you all. I appreciate you being with me. Tomorrow, of course, we're going to have Bob Whitaker. And then Sunday, I'll be with you with our more expanded and more popular show. The most popular show of the week is the Sunday program. Dr. Duke, this is from Nordic Wise, and I just wanted to post a comment in this thread about the ABC special. I have to say how disappointed I was. The show did a wonderful slander job on the twins, and every day we hear you say you are not a white supremacist, but according to ABC, the most trusted name in news, you are. Is there anything we can do about this tripe? I also think we should continue to discuss dropping certain symbols and gestures. You know which ones I'm talking about. I am not really opposed to all historical symbols, but the reputation has been ruined and therefore ineffective. Some of us really need to drop the Hollywood images if we're ever intending to gain massive numbers, and numbers are what we need. That's true, Travon. In fact, we not only need numbers, but we need dedicated numbers and intelligent numbers and leading numbers. And we have to be conscious of the image we present, and I think that we don't really serve our cause well by conforming to a Hollywood image of what we're supposed to be. And the thing about that, you know, ABC, there's nothing we can do about that tripe. I mean, they can call me whatever they want. They can call me a white supremacist. They can call me an anti-Semite. They can call me whatever they want to call me. I am not a white supremacist, and I don't consider myself an anti-Semite, but I certainly do consider myself a person that wants to preserve our white heritage, our traditions, our values, and I want my children to live in a decent society. No question about that. But one thing that is good about it is the fact that when the media does talk about you, at least you get some exposure. You get some visitors to your site. And when they read my site and read with their own eyes, unless they're a total numbskull like the guy that I just quoted from a minute ago, when they read my own site and they read what I have to say in my own words, they realize they've been lied to. And that's pretty powerful. This is from Spartan, and he says, "Hello, Dr. Duke. Just wanted to let you know I received my copy of the Duke Report in the mail today." Well, that's great. I'm glad people are starting to get it. Spartan, you should tell me where you live as well, and people should tell me the city where they live so I can kind of keep track of where the publication's getting out now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. I sure do, and very much appreciate your help and your support, and I hope that you enjoy the Duke Report. And if you're not a subscriber yet, you're going to want to subscribe. This is a really great issue. Please read it carefully. And if we haven't had any mail going out now for over 2 months, but we've had all the bills, the same basic bills, our mortgages and the utility, all the rest of the bills that we have all the time. And so, you know, we need some support, and I hope that you'll make an extra large contribution, a generous contribution this month when you get the Duke Report, so that we can try to get caught up. We were already kind of in the hole still from the last conference, and this kind of puts us further in the hole. But we're working, and we're going to be around for a long time. I promise you, I'm not going to give up. And I've got a big schedule coming up, spreading our ideas in a lot of media, before a lot of organizations, a lot of individuals, and you'll be reading about that activism over the next 3 or 4 months. Right now, I'm taking care of business. I'm trying to get the headquarters and my house and all that fixed and working. And we're trying to get on a good economic even keel here. And as soon as that's done, I'll be back on the road like I usually do, and you'll be getting more and more posts from me. I'll be doing more and more research. But right now, I'm just trying to do the work that we have to do to pay the bills and get our financial and structural situation in better shape. Appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. And I'll definitely be with you on Sunday. Now, again, don't forget that and I should definitely give a accolade to my good friend, who I visited both in this country and in fact in Eastern Europe before, and a couple times now, in fact, in Eastern Europe. A very great guy, Bob Whitaker, who will be filling in for me on this Saturday. So hope to see you real soon, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be with you on Sunday, and enjoy Bob Whitaker tomorrow. Thanks a lot. God bless you. Take care.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.